Amen. Come on, put your hands together one more time as... And open your Bibles with me to John, the 19th chapter. John, chapter 19, as we conclude our three-week message and series entitled A Merry Christmas. A Merry Christmas. Our series has looked at and is going to look at today the three special Marys in the life of Jesus and the three special gifts that they bring to our life this Christmas season. In John chapter 19 and verse 25 is our text and our key verse. The Bible tells us that now there stood or remained at the cross of Jesus his mother Mary, his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. At the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the crowds had gathered and they watched him as he faced a gruesome death, as he gave his life for the sins of the world. But after everybody had gone home after a long day and everyone else had given up hope, there remained these three Marys. Now, the Bible tells us there's at least five Marys. Some scholars divide up the different accounts through the New Testament and tell us about seven Marys. But there are at least five Marys in the Bible, but our focus in this series has been on these three Marys: Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. These three who, against all odds and against all hope, when everyone else had given up, they remain strong and faithful and true. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul tells the church, now there remains these three: faith, hope, and love. Say that with me: faith, hope, and love. Just like the three Marys remained around the cross, the Apostle Paul tells us there are three virtues that can bring victory to our life. Three gifts that God has given to us that if we will grab hold of and incorporate into our life can cause us to stand strong and remain faithful and be victorious no matter what happens in life. And so what we've done in this series is we've drawn a parallel between these three Marys and these three victorious virtues. We looked at Mary, the mother of Jesus, a couple of weeks ago, and we called her Mary Faith. Say that with me, Mary Faith. We then looked at, last week, we looked at Mary, the wife of Cleophas, who was also the sister of Mary, Jesus' mother, technically Joseph's sister. We looked at her and we called her Mary Hope. Say that with me. Both of those messages are available. Get the CD, go to the website, listen to them, because these two gifts, the gift of faith, the gift of hope, are powerful truths and powerful virtues that can help us not just in Christmas, but all in every area of our life. And this morning I want to conclude and put a ribbon around this message in this series of A Merry Christmas by looking at the third Mary, Mary Magdalene, who we will call Mary Love. Say that with me, Mary Love. Now, what's interesting, if you didn't know, the name Magdalene comes from the word Magdala, which was a city just south of Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee where Mary lived. This Mary lived. Therefore, she's called Mary Magdalene or Mary from Magdala, from Magdala. I said that right. Magdala. Mary Magdalene. That's where she gets her name because of the city that was tagged on to the last of her. That's what distinguishes her as Mary Magdalene, who we're calling Mary Love. Now, I want to tell you a story that's entitled The Farmer and the Lady, A Love Story. A farmer went to town to pick up supplies. He stopped by the hardware store to pick up a bucket and an anvil. Then he went on to the livestock dealer, and he bought a couple of chickens and a goose. However, he had a problem. How was he going to carry all of these purchases home? The livestock dealer said, "Why don't you put the anvil in the bucket, carry the bucket in one hand, put a chicken under both of your arms, and carry the goose with your other hand?" "Hey, thanks," said the farmer as he went off on his way. As he was walking home, he encountered a lady who was lost and said to him, "Can you tell me how to get to 1515 Mockingbird Lane?" The farmer said, "Well, as a matter of fact, I live at 1520 Mockingham Lane. And if you'll follow me, and I'll take you on a shortcut down through this alley, and we'll get there even faster." The lady said, "Well, wait a minute. I'm an attractive woman. How do I know that when you take me down this alley, you're not going to take advantage of me and make passionate love to me?" The farmer said, "Heck, lady, I'm carrying a bucket and an anvil, two chickens and a goose. How in God's name am I going to possibly do that?" The lady said, "Set the goose down, put the bucket over him, put the anvil on top of the bucket, and I'll hold the two chickens." Now, you say, what does that have to do with Mary Magdalene and Mary Love? Well, let me tell you something about that story. Let me tell you something about Mary Magdalene. While Mary Magdalene is a very special person in the life of Jesus, a fascinating character in the New Testament, there's a little controversy, and there has been controversy and speculation that has stirred in, even in Christian circles. Books and movies have associated something a little bit nefarious between Jesus and Mary Magdalene. There are those who have speculated and who have erroneously, I want to say, have claimed that Mary Magdalene and Jesus had a torrid love affair and acted inappropriately in the Bible. There are those who believe and have speculated that Mary Magdalene and Jesus were even secretly married. Maybe you've heard, and there's been these speculations and these twisted ideas and accounts concerning Mary Magdalene. I'm here to tell you this morning that there is no question that the relationship between Jesus and Mary Magdalene was very special. There's no question that there was a great deal of affection and love between these two. You can't help but read it throughout the scripture. But I want you to know that there was nothing intimate, there was nothing inappropriate, and there was nothing immoral about the love that took place between Mary and Jesus. Mary Magdalene's story is a story of a life that was transformed by the Savior's love. It's nothing nefarious. There's nothing immoral about their relationship. It's about the great love of a Savior that changed this dear woman we call Mary Magdalene. Now, Mark chapter 16 and verse 19 gives us some insight right off the bat about this special love relationship, but that was spiritual, between Mary and Jesus. Mark 16 tells us, "Now when Jesus was risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, in whom he had cast out seven devils." The relationship that was between Jesus and Mary Magdalene was special. It was spiritual because Jesus, with his great power and love, cast out and radically transformed this woman's life, and her love for him was seen in that she honored the Savior who did everything for her. Mary was the first to see Jesus after he was risen. She was the last one at the cross and the first one at the tomb. It shows the great love and passion between the two. But while it was special, it was spiritual, because Jesus had radically changed her life. Here was a woman who was possessed and a woman that was oppressed and a woman that was affected in her life by, the Bible says, seven demons and devils in her life. And yet Jesus, with the power of his love, transformed her life. Today, Mary Magdalene, Mary Love, gives you and I the gift of the Savior's love that can change our life. No matter what we face, no matter what's going on in our world, no matter what's happening inside of our life today, I want you to know that there's a love that's greater than any other love. And that love is of a Savior who gave himself, a Savior who rose, and a Savior who can radically transform our life by the power of God. Mary Magdalene, Mary Love, gives us three life-changing truths about this gift of God's love. I want to show you these three principles this morning, these three life-changing truths about God's love that can change my life, can change your life today because of Jesus' great love for us. The first one is that Mary Love shows us the gift of God's love is a love that covers a multitude of sin. God's love today has the power to cover, to cleanse, and to conquer any sin you and I have ever been a part of or ever will be a part of. God's love today has the power to cleanse every sin today. I don't know about you today, but that's a gift. That's a gift that only God can give. That's a love that only God's love can do, can transform and can cover a multitude of sin. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 and 8 teaches us this biblical principle that Mary Love teaches us. Above all things, Peter wrote, have fervent love among yourselves, because love, the God kind of love, the unconditional love that God has for us and then we are to have for other people, is a love that is to cover a multitude of sin. Now, this verse is very important and it's very powerful, but it has often been misused and misquoted and even misunderstood. I want you to understand that God's love, the love that God has for us and the love that God wants us to have for others, this unconditional love that has the power to cleanse sin, does not cover up sin. How many know that? God's love doesn't cover up sin. God's love covers sin, and there's a big difference. You see, the love that God had for you and I, the love that God has for us or had for Mary Magdalene that cast out devils and set her free from her past and from the sinful past and the dark past that she had, he didn't excuse her sin. He didn't cover up her sin and say it's okay. What he did is his love gave her a covering over top of her, a covering around her, an environment whereby she could come to him and receive the forgiveness and the cleansing that she needed. Love doesn't cover up sin. Love doesn't condone sin. Love doesn't say it's okay when it's not okay. How many know that? You know, we often say, well, I don't want to tell that person in my life about that, or we don't want to mention that problem because we love them. You see, love doesn't cover up sin. Love creates an environment. Love creates a lifestyle. Love points people to Jesus, who has the power to cleanse people from their sin. Yes, love protects those that we love. Yes, love builds a protection and covers them in a spiritual way from others who would condemn them or would criticize them. But love doesn't continue to cover up. Love brings them to the Jesus who can love them and cleanse them from their sin. How many know Jesus didn't condone Mary's past? Jesus didn't cover up for Mary and say, oh, she really didn't have devils. She really wasn't a bad person. She really wasn't involved in dark things in her life. Jesus didn't condone her sin, but Jesus didn't condemn her sin either. Jesus cleansed her. Jesus changed her by the power of his love as he caused his love for her to transform her. You see, listen, you and I today may not have as dark and as sinful a past as Mary Magdalene, that we have been affected spiritually by evil and darkness in our life. Maybe none of us have had that kind of background. Maybe none of us have that kind of past. But how many know the truth of the matter is that Romans 3:23 says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not one of us can say, I have no sin. Not one of us could say, I've never messed up. Not one of us can say, we've never had seven demons, thank God. Maybe we don't have those dark things. Maybe we never got involved in some awful things in our life. Maybe we stayed away from those things in our life. But all of us fall short of God's glory. All of us are sinners, the Bible says, and all of us need a Savior. But the good news is that all of us have a Savior. All of us have a God and a Savior who came down. Love came down and he was born in a manger. Love came down and hung on a cross. And when Jesus died for you and I, he came not only just to cover us with his sin and cover and protect us and not condemn us from our sin, but he came to cleanse us and to change us from our sin and to transform our life and to stop us from going one direction and turn us completely around and pause our life to go in a completely new and better direction. Love covers a multitude of sin. The Bible says that for God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish because of their sin, would not be destroyed because of their sin, but have everlasting life. God sent not his son into the world, verse 17 goes on to say, to condemn us for our sin, but that the world through him might be saved. Today I want you to understand that God does not condone our sin, and if we're involved in a sinful lifestyle, or today we are living in darkness, and today we are involved in things that are not pleasing to God, listen to me, God doesn't condone it. God doesn't say it's okay, but listen, God doesn't condemn it either. He's here, and he sent his son to cleanse us and to change us. And that's the gift of love that Mary loved. The same love that caused her to be delivered from her sinfulness and her past, her darkness, and caused her to come into the light of God's love is the same love that God wants to shed abroad in your heart, in my heart today. It's the same love he wants us to use to love those in our life that sin and fall short. Listen, every one of us have people in our life that have sinned against us or messed up or even failed us at times. And while we should not condone that behavior, we should not condemn it. What we should do is we should create an environment by which they can receive forgiveness and they can receive cleansing and their lives can change. Love can do that when we create the right environment around the people that we say we love. Love covers a multitude of sin. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, God commended his love for you and me while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that amazing? While we were still sinners, Jesus said, I'll go and I'll die because God extended his love. Listen, for that one, you say, but they're still involved. They're still doing the thing. Listen, your love can be extended to them even while they're a sinner. And while you don't condone the sin, how many know we need to bring them to Jesus and create the kind of environment around them that will cause them to find cleansing and transformation in their lives? And today, if you and I are involved in sin today, if you and I feel that we are apart from God and far away from God, if you and I have a past that's dark and we feel like there's no way we can have relationship with God in our life, if we feel like we're at a place where we can't experience the love of God, listen to me. The Bible says if we will confess our sin, he is faithful and just. If we will confess our sin, 1 John, he is faithful and just to forgive us for our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Love today, the love of Jesus that was shed abroad on the cross, is here today to cleanse every sin. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter what you've done. His love is greater than every sin today. His love is stronger than any sin today. His love can cover. That means his love can cleanse, not condone or condemn, but cleanse us from all our sin. What a gift. Mary love gives us the gift today of God's love, which covers a multitude of sin. The second thing the Bible teaches us, and Mary love shows us about the gift of God's love, is that God's love, God's unconditional love, casts out all fear. Not only does God's love and the gift of God's love cover a multitude of sins and all of our sins, but God's love casts out all fear. 1 John gives us the biblical principle. In verses 16 to 19 of chapter 4, we have known and believed the love of God. Listen, this morning, you need to know and believe the love of God. And if we will know and believe the love of God, we can receive the gift of love, because God's nature, by nature, is love. God exudes love. God is love. God wants to extend his love to every one of us, because there is no fear in love, the Bible says, but perfect love. That is mature love, God kind of love, the unconditional kind of love, not the kind of love that says, well, I love you if you do this. I love you if you're better. I love you if you treat me this way. I love you if this happens. No, unconditional love drives out fear. When someone knows that they're loved, no matter what, it makes them feel secure. But when there's that kind of love that says, well, if you don't do what I want, then you're gone. Or if you don't do it the way I like it, then I don't love you anymore. And if it's conditional, there's no security there. There's great fear there. But perfect love, unconditional love, the kind of love that says, no matter what, I'm going to love you because that's the way God loved me. Listen, that's why. Because perfect love casts out all fear. Because fear has torment in it. Fear can bring the torment to our life. But notice this, we love him because he first loved us. How can I love the people in my life with that same kind of love? Because if I want to receive it from God, I've got to give it to others. Perfect love casts out fear. Reason why sometimes the people in our life are so insecure and feel so tentative and walk on eggshells and don't know if they're always doing things is because they fear that the love is not secure, the love is not unconditional. Because the moment they screw up or the moment they mess up, they feel that it's all over. How many know God didn't treat you and I that way? And that's not the kind of love he wants us to treat one another. He wants us to receive his gift of unconditional love while we were yet sinners. And he wants us to extend that same kind of love to others. Listen, that love can change lives. That love can cover sin. That love can cast out all fear. Notice something very interesting in here. Is that fear has torment. When a person lives in fear, they live in torment. You see, when we sin, when we live in sin and we mess up, spiritually, we need a Savior. Spiritually, our life is in darkness. But how many know that a person can have their sins forgiven but still live mentally, emotionally, and physically in fear and in torment? Let me know that. It's possible that you say, well, I've received God's gift for my sins, and I thank God that he cleansed me from my sin, and I confess my sin, and spiritually I'm healthy. Spiritually, I've asked God to cleanse me. But yet, there are those who still live in torment, mentally, emotionally, and even physically. And listen, when we allow fear to grip our heart and we live in fear, how many know that fear can be destructive to our life? Those who are gripped by fear and those who allow fear to rule in their life, that torment can torment someone mentally, can torment someone emotionally, that causes them to act out and do destructive things to themselves, destructive things to other people, and even can ruin lives. When we allow fear to grip our life and we allow fear, it will bring torment. And sometimes we don't realize that there are people that we know and people even within sound of my voice that while we love God and we know that God loves us, there's a torment. They're tormented emotionally, mentally, and even cause it can manifest itself in medical and physical problems. But here's the good news, is that God's unconditional love for us can cast out fear. If we will understand and we will get a revelation of how much God loves us and we will allow his love to flood our life and fill our life and we will extend that love to others and we will let that love flow out of us, that love can cast out fear. That love can remove torment. We've got to allow God's love to fill us and allow God's love to flow through us, so that torment can be broken and torment can leave life. How many know Mary Magdalene not only had a dark and sinful past and she needed a savior spiritually, but how many know because of the seven demons that she had in her life, she lived in torment and it manifested itself physically, mentally, and emotionally. Look at what Luke 8 and 2 tells us. And of the certain women which had been healed, notice that they were healed. Notice this, of evil spirits and infirmities. Notice that when we open ourselves up to darkness, we open ourselves up to fear, we open ourselves up to the enemy, we get ourselves involved in things that are not of God, you know what can happen? It can begin to manifest itself physically and in physical infirmities. There are people who are physically sick. Now listen, I'm not saying everyone who's physically sick is because they opened their life up to darkness and that. I'm not saying that, but how many know there are those sicknesses that have been caused because people have opened their life up to darkness? And only God's love can cast that out. No medicine, no surgery can do that. Listen, it can manifest. Notice, evil spirits and infirmities. One of these women was Mary, called Magdalene, of whom went seven devils. Listen, when we allow ourselves to get involved in things that are not of God, and we open our life up to things that are not of the love of God and of the pure things of God, what happens is we open ourselves up to darkness. And we live in a dark world, and we live in a world that's filled with all kinds of things. And the things we watch, and the things we listen to, and the things we allow pour into our life, listen to me, we think, oh, it's no big deal. It's not. Listen, when we open ourselves up to sinful things and darkness and fear and all the ugliness of this world, and we allow that stuff to get into our life, it will manifest itself with infirmities, physical things. Emotionally, people are full of stress. People are depressed. Listen, the two greatest things that even believers are oppressed with are depression and anxiety. Now listen, I'm not suggesting that Christians and believers and those that have had their lives forgiven and going to heaven, I'm not saying they can be possessed of the devil. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But you can be oppressed of the devil. You can be oppressed with demons. You can be oppressed with depression. You can be oppressed with anxiety. You can be oppressed with inferiority. You can be oppressed with loneliness. You can be oppressed with mental and emotional things. And these things weigh on your mind, weigh on your emotions. And then what happens is when people let this take root in their life, then they start acting out physically, acting out on themselves, hurting other people, lashing out at themselves. That's because we've allowed fear, or we've allowed oppression, or we've allowed depression, or we've allowed stress to get into our spirit. And today we need to be honest and say, God, I've opened my heart up to these things, but thank God your love is greater, your love is stronger, and God's love can cast out any fear. Because no matter what you're tormented with, and listen, there may be somebody who's within some, you're tormented. Your mind is troubled and tormented. You can't sleep. You can't rest. You can't think. You're acting out and doing destructive things to yourself or other people. It's causing and it's manifesting physical problems in your body. It's manifesting brokenness in relationships. Listen to me. What happens is then that torment gets in there and we open ourselves up to that. Listen, only God's love can cast that out. Only God's love can set us free. We need to understand that Mary love, Mary Magdalene, gives us this wonderful gift today. The gift of the love of God. The gift of unconditional love that God says, whatever's tormenting you, my love is greater. And my love can cast out that fear. Listen, God doesn't want us living in torment. Come on, somebody. God doesn't want us living emotionally and mentally and physically in torment. Yes, his love can cover our sins and heal us spiritually, but his love can also cast out fear and heal us mentally, emotionally, and physically. That's the power of God's love. That's the power of God's love. Love. She was not only oppressed with these enemies, with evil spirits, but it manifested in infirmities. But because she met Jesus, oh, he changed her life. He transformed her life out of darkness into his marvelous light and into the light and the hope of God. Listen, 1 John 4, and verse 4 says, you are of God, little children. And when he says little children, he means that affectionately. And he's saying that in terms of the fact that you have a love relationship with God. Like he's the parent and the one who loves us. He says, and you have overcome every spirit because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Listen, if we've opened ourselves up to things that are not of God, we need to surrender that. We need to repent of that. We need to confess that. We need to acknowledge that before God. And we need to say, God, I've allowed this torment to torment me too long. I've allowed this fear. I've allowed this depression. I've allowed this inferiority. I've allowed this insecurity. I've allowed this anxiety to dominate my life and to torment me and affect me in so many areas. And today I surrender to your love, the love that can cast out all fear. Listen, God doesn't want us to be in torment today because greater is his love in us than any spirit that's in this world. Anything that the enemy can affect us with, anything that this world can get into our, and listen, even believers, good and godly people, can open themselves up to these things, but even believers ought to know even better the great love that God has for us because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. God's love today covers a multitude of sin, can heal us spiritually. God's love today can cast out all fear. Mary love gives us this gift of God's unconditional love. And thirdly, God's love, God's unconditional love, not only covers a multitude of sin, not only can cast out all fears, but God's love, God's unconditional love can conquer anything that life can throw at you. Listen, life throws a lot of stuff at us and has a way of overwhelming us, making us feel like we're not loved, making us feel like there is no hope, making us feel like we need to give up. But listen, God's love, when we allow God to fill us with his love today, his love can conquer anything that life can throw at us. I love what Romans chapter 8 and verse 31 and verse 35 to 39 says. What shall we say to these things? What things? All the things that life throws at us. He says, what are we going to say to these things? What are we going to say to these problems that arise? What are we going to say to these pressures that come? What are we going to say to these difficulties that come? If God be for us, then who can be against us? Who? In other words, what can these things do against us if God is for? Who? What are these things that can separate us from the love of God? And he begins to list some of them. Tribulation or troubles. Can troubles cause God to stop loving me? Can troubles that I have in my life make God stop loving me? No. Can distress or anxiety or depression, can those things affect? Can persecution, can famine and the peril, can when I'm down on my luck and when I'm in difficulty and problems, can any of these things? He says, no, nay. In all these things, no matter what life throws at you, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us and gave himself for us. Listen today, God's love can conquer anything life throws at you. When you know God loves you today and you are secure in God's love and you are and your life is filled and flooded with the love of God, listen, it can cover a multitude of sin. It can cast out all fears and it can conquer anything that life throws at you. When you know God loves you, how many know you can keep on standing? When you know God loves you, how many know you can keep on going no matter what life throws at us? Because his love is greater than anything that life can throw. He goes on to say, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life. How many know death is the worst thing that life can throw at us in this arena? And he says, not even death can separate us. No, not even life, nothing that life, not angels, not principalities, not demons, not seven demons can cause us to be separated from the love of God. Nor things present, nor things to come are able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. How many know Mary Magdalene, Mary Love, had her share of troubles? How many know if you had seven demons for a while in your life, you'd have a lot of troubles? How many know she had a lot of distress and persecution? I'll bet people persecuted her even after the demons were cast out of her. I'll bet there were people who reminded her, remember, you're the demon lady. I'll bet she faced persecution. I'll bet she faced tribulation. I know, listen, and how many know she continued to let the love of God and she continued to love Jesus with all her heart. She didn't let anything separate her from the love of God. Not death nor angels, because how many know she was the first one at the tomb? She wasn't going to let death separate her from her love for Jesus. Angels, weren't there angels at the tomb? Even angels. Demons? She had those in the past. That wasn't going to bother her. Mary Magdalene, Mary Love, let nothing separate her from the love of God. Her past? No. Her present? No. Future? No. Persecution? No. Angels? Death? Nothing. She didn't let anything separate her from the love of God. Because the Bible says that Mary was the last one at the cross and the first one at the tomb. Nothing was going to affect her. Nothing was going to separate her from the love of God. I want you to look at this last passage about Mary Magdalene. It's after the resurrection. How many know last one at the cross, first one at the tomb paid off for Mary? The Bible says on the first day of the week came Mary Magdalene to the tomb when it was dark. She saw the stone was rolled away. The Bible says she ran to Peter and John saying, they have taken away the Lord and we don't know where they laid him. She went to the tomb that day and then she ran behind. She even ran ahead of Peter and John because she was the first one to get to the tomb. When she got there, she looked, and the Bible says that she saw but she went to the tomb, she saw that the stone was there, and Peter and John came up behind her, and the other scriptures are there. I didn't put the other slide up there, but the other scripture says that Peter and John came, and they went into the tomb, and they saw the linen grave clothes that were unwrapped in there, and then they left. But the Bible says that after Peter and John had left, the Bible says that Mary stood outside the tomb after everybody else was gone. She was the only one there. In the morning, she came early to anoint the body with Mary, the other Mary, Mary we talked about last week. And Peter and John came to the tomb, but then they left and went home. But Mary stood. Mary was not going to let anything separate her from her love for Jesus. She was there, and she was going to stay faithful, and she was going to stay true. Because she knew, and the Bible says she stood outside the tomb weeping. And she stooped down and looked into the tomb. She looked inside. Remember, Peter and John ran inside, ran ahead of her and went inside. And when they left, she wasn't sure what they saw. And she stooped down and looked inside. And I'm sure she looked with anticipation and she looked with great consternation as well, wondering what was on there, what was inside there that caused these two to run away. But Mary stooped down and looked inside, looking for Jesus, looking for the Savior that had driven out demons in her life, looking for the one who had changed her life. Mary stood by there, and the Bible says that she saw two angels. One, the Bible says, that was at where his head would have been, and the other where his feet were, and the grave clothes were unwrapped. And the Bible says that the angel said to her, "Why are you weeping?" And she says, "Because they have taken away," notice this, "they have taken away my Lord." He's my Lord. He may have cast out devils from other people. He may have changed other lives, but he's my Lord. He says, "I'm looking for my Lord. I'm hanging around here because I'm not going to give up. And I'm going to look for my Lord because I love him, because he changed my life." He said, "I'm looking for my Lord." And then she turned and she saw Jesus. But she didn't know who he was. And the Bible says that Jesus said to her, "Woman." Now that word "woman" is a beautiful word because it means loved one. He turned to her and said, "Loved one." And he says, "Why are you weeping? And whom do you seek?" And she thought he was the gardener. She thought he was one there to take care of the tomb and so forth. And she said, "Sir, if you know where he is, tell me where he is, I'll take care of his body." How many know, even to the end, she said, "I'll take care of his body. I'll take care of him. I love him that much that I'll take care of him and I'll stay with him no matter what." Not life, not death, not angels, not principalities. Nothing was going to keep Mary from the love that she had. And then Jesus turned to her and said, simply, "Mary." Mary. And when she heard her name, how many know, in only the tone that the Savior could have said it to her? When she said, "Mary." How many know, you could call my name, it's different when my wife or my kids call my name. How many know you hear it different? How many know their parents know what I'm talking about? You can hear it different in the tone when someone calls your name. And when Jesus said, "Mary," how many know it came with the love that only a Savior who had changed her life could say? "Mary." And when she heard it in that tone, remember, it was still dark and she didn't know who he was. But when she heard her name with such love and such passion, she cried out, "Rabboni," which means master. What an encounter. What an exchange that takes place there at that intimate moment at the tomb when Mary gets to see Jesus first alive. Because of the great relationship, the love relationship between a Savior and a sinner whose life had been changed. The love of God that conquered everything in Mary's life was manifested in a Savior who called her name Mary. Listen, can I ask you today, what are you facing? What are you going through? Tribulation, persecution, death? Life, past, present, angels, demons. I don't know. What is it? Listen, hear Jesus call your name today. Come on. Hear your Savior say, in the midst of your weeping, in the midst of your despair, in the midst of what seems to be hopelessness, can you hear Jesus with his words call your name with such love? And can you respond back, "Master, Lord, Savior"? Jesus is calling our name today with all of the love of heaven behind it, because a Savior's love can cast out all fear. A Savior's love can cover a multitude of sins. And a Savior's love can conquer anything that life throws at us. Listen, love is greater than anything. Love is greater than any of our sins. Love is greater than all of our fears. And love can conquer anything that life throws at us. Now abides these three. What did it say, the Bible? Faith, hope, and love. What did it say? But the greatest of these is love, because love conquers all. Listen, the cross where the three Marys stood speaks of faith. Mary, faith. Shines with hope. Mary, hope. And showers us with love. Love that comes from a Savior. I want to read 1 Corinthians 13 a moment. The love chapter. It's commonly called the love chapter. And I want to read it first straight from the scripture. And it says this in 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but I don't love, I become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand mysteries and all knowledge, and I have faith that can move mountains, but I don't love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but I don't have love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long. Love is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunted or boasted not itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Love doesn't seek its own. Love is not easily provoked. Love thinks no evil. Love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. And love endures all things. Love never fails. Mary, love shows us in the example of her life this kind of love, the God kind of love that God the Savior has for us and that we are to have for those in our life. Now, I came across this 13th chapter of John that someone wrote with a Christmas version. Listen to this. If I decorate my house perfectly with plaid bows, strands of twinkling lights, and shiny balls, but I don't love, I'm just a decorator. If I slave all day in the kitchen and bake dozens of Christmas cookies, prepare gourmet meals, and arrange beautifully adorned tables at mealtime, but I do not love, I'm just another cook. If I work at the soup kitchen and carol at the nursing home, if I give all that I have to charity and I do not love, it really profits me nothing. If I trim the spruce with shimmering angels and crochet snowflakes, attend a myriad of holiday parties and sing in the choir's cantata, but I don't focus on Christ, I miss the whole point. Love stops the cooking and hugs the child. Love sets aside the decoration and kisses the spouse. Love is kind, though hurried and tired. Love does not envy another person's house that's decorated with better ornaments and with better lights. Love doesn't yell at the kids for getting in the way, but is thankful that they're actually still there in the way. Love doesn't give only to those who are able to give something in return. Love doesn't rejoice in giving to only those that they know, but giving to those that they can't and don't have what they need. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. Toys will break. Pearl necklaces will be lost, golf clubs will rust, but giving the gift of love to someone we say we love will endure forever. Love is greater than anything, and God's love today can change my life and your life. God's love today can change the life of those around us if we'll open our heart up again to his love. How many know it's easy to allow life to crowd in and crowd out the great love that God has? Remember what God said to the church at Ephesus. He said, I know your faith. You got good doctrine. You help the poor people. You do a lot of good things, but you've lost your first love. You've lost your first love. And then he says, and he gives them three key words to getting back to that place. He says, repent, that is, turn from the direction you're going and start going back toward God. He says, and then he says, remember where you have fallen from, and then return to those good works again. Listen, we love him because he first loved us. What was the love that the church at Ephesus had lost? It wasn't their love for God. It was they had forgotten God's great love for them. Can I say something very important to you this morning? A lot of times as Christians, what we think is, I love God. I love God. I love God. I love God. That's not what's going to change your life. It's when you know how much God loves you. They left their what? First love. What love is first? How many know our love for God was not first? Oh, it's all about me loving God. Yes, we need to love God, but that wasn't first. They left their first love. That is, they left the fact that they forgot and they walked away from and they were ignoring the fact of how much God loved them. I mean, no, it's so easy to say, oh, well, we forgot how much he loved us. We forget how much he endured for us. We forget what he came. He left the splendor of heaven and was born in a stable. We forget the fact that he walked this earth and he did all those things. We forget that he was beaten and bruised and he hung on a cruel cross. That's how much he loved us. Mary understood that. Mary Magdalene understood. That's why when everybody else went home, she remained at the cross. She wasn't going to leave that cross because she wasn't going to leave that first love. She wasn't going to lose her first love. She was going to stay to the cross till the end. And not only that, even when everything else was gone, she was the first one to the tomb because she wasn't going to forget it was God's love that changed my life. It wasn't me that loved him. And we like to brag as Christians, oh, look how much I love God. No, how much did he love us? That's what really matters. That's what really will change your life. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he do? Oh, how he loves you and me. Today, there are so many people who feel so unloved, and yet God has enough love for all of us. We let life beat us up. We let enemies, we let depressions and all the other torments come in. We let sins and things get, and we let all this stuff, and we forget how much he loved us. This morning, I woke up so early. Too early, insanely early, ungodly early. And I sat in the dark in my chair in my little room, and all I could keep thinking about, and I didn't know they were going to sing it, was Away in a Manger. I kept singing, Be near me, Lord Jesus. I ask you to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Over and over in my mind, I kept singing that, Lord, please stay near me and love me, I pray. And all of a sudden, I could feel in my heart, God say, I've never stopped loving you, and I'll always love you. And today, someone needs to know, and someone needs to hear how much God loves you today. I wish I could somehow explain it to you. I wish I could come to each one of you today. I wish I could hug each one of you today personally and show you how much a human being can care. But that doesn't even come close to how much God loves you today. I don't know what you feel today. I don't know what you're fighting with today. I don't know what you're facing today. But I can tell you this, God has never stopped loving you. And God loves you today with an everlasting love. Not long lasting and then it stops, but it's everlasting. You never have to worry. You never have to be afraid that he's going to stop. You never have to worry he's going to give up on you. You never have to worry he's going to go away from you. You never have to worry he's going to separate himself from you, because his love is eternal and everlasting. He loves you today. I want you to bow your head. I want you to close your eyes today. I want you to just take a moment today, and I want you to think about, if God can change Mary Magdalene's life with the power of his love, if God's love, when she met Jesus, here was Mary from a town south of Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee, living with seven demons. I don't know what demons are going on in your mind. I don't know what things you've got, personal things that you got struggling with in your head and in your heart today. I don't know what you're wrestling with. But here was Mary Magdalene from a town south of where Jesus was, near the Sea of Galilee. But one of those trips by the Sea of Galilee, she met Jesus. And a woman that was living tormented with demons and devils was radically transformed by the power of the love of a Savior who gave himself for us. Listen, just receive the gift of his love right now. You say, but I can't love the people in my life the way you're talking about. Listen, neither can I. But if we let God fill us with his love, that love can overflow out of us. That love can fill us, and that love can flow through us. I want you to just close your eyes. And I want you to just let Jesus love on you a moment. I want you to let his love fill your heart today.